Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. President Donald Trump delivers his State of the Union address tonight, the second of his presidency. The speech had to be rescheduled because of last month's government shutdown. And the issue that sparked that shutdown, the president's insistence that Congress authorize billions of dollars for his southern border wall, will be front and center tonight as well. But the White House says the president will offer a conciliatory tone and call to bridge divisions. In a moment, we're going to check in with Massachusetts Congressman Jim McGovern about that. But first, let's welcome Kimberly Atkins. She comes to us from the Boston Herald and is now WBUR's brand new senior news correspondent who will be based in Washington, D.C. She's here with us in Boston. Kimberly, welcome to WBUR. Congratulations and welcome to Radio Boston. It's great to have you here.
Thanks so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, it's great. I've loved talking to you over the years from Washington, and it's great that you're on the team with us now. So White House officials have given reporters a preview of some of what the president is going to say. Here's a bit of what he's expected to say. Together, we can break down decades of political stalemate. We can bridge old divisions, heal old wounds, build new coalitions, forge new solutions, and unlock the extraordinary promise of America's future. The decision is ours to make. So that comes as a bit of a contrast to the bitterness at the moment in Washington. Do you think he'll really deliver that? What do you think?
Well, that's what White House officials have given talking points to supporters. It's a very aspirational, future-looking message about hope for the future. Yes, it is in stark contrast to the mood in Washington right now, and it's also in stark contrast to the kind of addresses the president usually gives. If you remember his inauguration, he talked about American carnage. So clearly aware probably that Nancy Pelosi will now be over his shoulder on screen instead of Paul Ryan this time. The president is trying to get ahead and make the Republican Party at least look more united and give a message of unity, even if that's not really expected to be forthcoming.
Interesting. So the speech comes, as we mentioned, after the longest government shutdown in history. And as congressional negotiators are trying to work out a deal on border security to prevent another shutdown. Now, the president has already called those negotiations a waste of time. What do you expect to hear from him about this particular issue?
Yeah, I don't know how much he'll want to focus on the shutdown itself and the negotiations that led to it, because that didn't make him look particularly good. I think it's true that the Democrats are not really motivated to give him money for this wall to stop another one. And so I think that's one reason why they're pushing this more aspirational theme. He'll definitely talk about immigration. That's going to be the top issue that he talks about. He'll spend a good deal of time talking about that. In a way, in terms of national security. But I don't think it wouldn't serve him, certainly, to have a very combative tone when it comes to the issue of the wall, the one that has led to that longest shutdown in history.
You know, you mentioned the really interesting optics of this particular speech, especially compared to the one he gave a year ago. I mean, first of all, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, as you mentioned, is going to be sitting right behind him. And she, of course, held firm on no money for that border wall, and even forced him to postpone this speech because of the shutdown. So here's what the president said about that on CBS's Face the Nation this past Sunday.
She's costing the country hundreds of billions of dollars, because what's happening is when you have a porous border and when you have drugs pouring in, and when you have people dying all over the country because of people like Nancy Pelosi, who don't want to give proper border security for political reasons, she's doing a terrible disservice to our country.
Wow, strong stuff. Also in the audience will be lots of new members of Congress who were just elected by opposing Trump, not to mention five senators and one congresswoman running for president. So how do you think all of that is going to affect the mood in that chamber tonight.
Yeah, I have to say, there may be even more presidential candidates among the Democrats in the audience tonight, not to mention those watching. The mood is going to be a quiet contention, I think. Nancy Pelosi will be there, but she's also among her guests, for example. She's bringing transgender active duty troops, you know, sort of a nod to the president's transgender ban. She's bringing the new president of Planned Parenthood. She's bringing immigrants and immigrant advocates. She's really using that to sort of paint the Democratic message, even though she herself isn't speaking. It's going to be in itself an automatic rebuttal to the policies of the president.
Mm. What about the president's guests? Do we know anything about that?
Yeah, we know that one of his guests will be an 11-year-old named Joshua Trump, who has been bullied because of his last name. He's actually a guest of First Lady Melania Trump. I think on the one hand, it's a smart move. Already Democrats have come out and tweeted their support of this child and denounced the bullying that he's faced. But on the other hand, it just draws attention to the bullying that the president does in interviews and on his Twitter feed on a daily basis. So it's a tough and interesting choice.
Kimberly, how important is the State of the Union speech to any president in general, and to this one in particular right now? How do you assess that?
You know, this president, it's different because he speaks from the cuff, from his Twitter feed, all day long, every day. Usually, this was a chance for presidents to come into America's living rooms and speak to them.
He's there all the time.
He's there all the time. He's always in the discussion. And so these scripted speeches for him are not his best moments. So I don't think the people are expecting a lot tonight with this president that we haven't already heard.
Now, the Democratic response this year is coming from Stacey Abrams. She ran unsuccessfully for governor of Georgia last year, but she's emerged as one of the sort of party leaders. What do you expect to hear from her, and what kind of impact is that going to have?
Well, I think it's going to have a big impact. I think the biggest one is to show that she is not going away. Despite the fact that she lost that contest, she is still seen as a rising Democratic star. She's also a Black woman, which will stand very sharp contrast to not only the president, but the Republican delegation in the room tonight. And along with California Attorney General Xavier Becerra, who's delivering the Spanish language rebuttal. That's gonna be an important message for Democrats to paint themselves as a party that's more inclusive than what the Republicans are right now.
All right. Well, that's WBUR's senior news correspondent, brand new senior news correspondent, Kimberly Atkins, joining us in Boston. She's going to be based in Washington in the months ahead. Kimberly, great. Thanks for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Pleasure to be here.
Now, for more on the State of the Union and other Washington political news, let's turn to Massachusetts Congressman Jim McGovern. He represents the 2nd Congressional District. And Congressman McGovern, welcome back to Radio Boston. It's always good to have you on the program.
Happy to be with you.
I think you've been following along toward the end of that conversation, at least. What are you hoping to hear from the president tonight? What do you expect to hear?
What I'm hoping is that that Donald Trump will act like a president and that he'll focus on what we have in common rather than on what divides us. That would be a welcome change. I don't expect I'm going to hear a lot of new things that we haven't heard before, but I would hope that the president's tone would be different from the way he's acted during these last 2 years.
As we were discussing with Kimberly Atkins just a moment ago, the White House has released some of the text to some of the reporters, and there is expected to be a call for unity. But with a big divide over the shutdown, how likely do you think that is?
Well, look, to achieve unity requires more than just a throwaway line in a speech. I mean, it's the way you govern, and the way he has governed for these last 2 years has been the exact opposite of that. I mean, I don't ever recall in my lifetime a more divisive president of the United States. Somebody who has, behaved in a way that has demeaned the presidency and really has shown contempt for average workers in this country. I mean, who else would have tolerated a 35-day shutdown where over 800,000 workers didn't get paid? I always hope and pray that he'll wake up one day and he'll be a different person, but you know, I don't have high expectations that a lot will change.
So, Congressman, of course, that shutdown was all about his insistence that members of Congress, you and others, finance his wall along the southern border. And I want to just play a little bit of tape from the president talking this past Sunday on Face the Nation, describing the situation as he sees it at the southern border. He calls it a national security emergency. Here's what he said.
And this really is an invasion of our country by human traffickers. These are people that are horrible people, bringing in women mostly, but bringing in women and children into our country, human trafficking. And we're going to have a strong border. And the only way you have a strong border is you need a physical barrier, you need a wall. And anybody that says you don't, they're just playing games.
So, Congressman McGovern, what do you think? Is it a national emergency? Does he have that part right?
No, it isn't. And, you know, and every expert and everybody on our border who patrols our border would dispute what the president says. I mean, he basically is trying to create a perception that is not reality. You know, 90% of the drugs that come into this country come through ports of entry. You know, and we have we're in the year 2019. We don't need a medieval solution to our problems at the border. We have things like, you know, technology, drones and sensors, and you know, there's a whole other menu of things that we can do to do border security better. And Democrats have been willing to work along with Republicans, you know, to enhance our border security. But for him to kind of outline this this crisis on the border and say we're being invaded, it's just a fantasy of his. I mean, he's been watching too much late night TV, but it's not the reality. And so this wall that he's talking about, by the way, is not just $5 billion. It's tens of billions of dollars. And probably higher than any of us can possibly imagine when you add in costs of taking land by eminent domain and all the complexities that are involved here. So there's a way to do border security smartly and intelligently that doesn't waste taxpayers' dollars, and there's a way to do it stupidly. And that's what this wall is about. It's a slogan. It's a press release. It's not real. Again, he needs to deal with facts, not fantasy.
But let me ask you this. I mean, I absolutely take your point about, you know, how to do border security intelligently and in a way that's sort of technologically advanced. But border security, in at least on parts of the border, is also about a physical barrier. So my question is this. Is there a way for Democrats to meet him halfway? I mean, he ran on a promise to build the wall. Lots of Americans believed in that. Why not compromise? Meet him halfway, get a deal on the Dreamers, for example, and let him have some money for the wall.
Well, we already have many, many miles of wall across our border. And again, what we're being told is that the problem continues to be at our ports of entry. And so why don't we respond to the facts? Why don't we do what will work? I mean, why would we go down a road where we're going to throw billions upon billions and billions of dollars into something that is ineffective, that won't work, and by the way, that Mexico was supposed to pay for, according to his campaign speeches? So, look, and if the president, you know, wants to provide additional information that shows that contradicts what the experts are telling us, he should provide that information. But he should not hold, you know, 800,000 workers hostage, and he should not shut the government down because he didn't get his way. The way our system works is that the legislative branch is an independent branch of our government. We're not a rubber stamp on the president, and the deal is that, you know, this is a give and take. And again, the bills that fund our government, including the Homeland Security bill that he wants more money for. By the way, they've been agreed to by Democrats and Republicans in both the House and Senate. These aren't controversial. The only thing that's controversial is the president's involvement in these discussions.
Hmm. Congressman, when we spoke to you a couple of weeks ago when a temporary deal was reached, which congressional negotiators are trying to figure out how to extend now, you said you were optimistic that we could avoid another government shutdown. Do you think, are you still optimistic about that?
Well, I'm hopeful, and the reason why I'm hopeful is because I think a lot of my Republican colleagues in both the House and the Senate, you know, understand what a disaster this last shutdown was. I've spent time handing out food here in Washington at Chef Jose Andres' Chefs for Feds restaurant, making sure that federal workers who, you know, work in the various agencies of our government who actually, you know, protect our country, had enough to eat. and passed out supplies so that they could support their families. You don't govern by blackmail. I mean, you govern, you know, through negotiating with people that you disagree with, and you try to come up with compromises. And this president needs to understand that he's supposed to be the commander-in-chief of this country, not the whiner-in-chief. He's supposed to be, he's supposed to put the interests of the people ahead of his own personal ego and his own personal, you know, politics. And I think a lot of what gives me hope that we might avoid this is I think that he will get a lot more pushback from rank-and-file Republicans than he did before and during this last shutdown.
What do you think the tone is going to feel like in the House tonight? I mean, what's the atmosphere going to be like? Because as we were discussing with Kimberly, lots of people in there, especially in the House, ran against President Trump. You've got a half dozen people or so who are running for president who are going to be in the audience. What's it going to be like?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's a lot of frustration amongst members of Congress of both sides of the aisle. I think, people have heard a lot from their constituents in the aftermath of this shutdown. They've seen the suffering that this shutdown has imposed on millions of people all throughout this country. And I think what people want is the president, again, to talk about things that we might be able to do together. You don't have to agree on everything to agree on something. You know, when he ran for president initially, he said he wanted an infrastructure bill. Well, we do too. Democrats do as well. So maybe he can focus in on that. But to be quite frankly, you know, he's had 2 years to propose an infrastructure bill. He's done nothing. He's had, by the way, 2 years to, when he had a Republican control of the House, Senate, and the White House to, you know, to pass money for a wall. He didn't do that. So, I mean, again, I'm hoping that maybe there'll be some, you know, some olive branches here where there might be some issues that we can work together on. I mean, you know, I didn't come here to just oppose the president. I came here to get things done. And I want him to, you know, if he believes in an infrastructure bill, look at it. If it's a serious effort, I want to be part of it. But I don't want to be, I don't want to sit there and be lectured to and be, you know, fed a whole bunch of, you know, false realities. I want the president to focus on some of the real problems that are confronting real people in my district and throughout this country.
I want to ask you about another issue. You made some news this past weekend. You announced that you will no longer accept corporate PAC money. Tell us why.
Well, look, when I first got elected to Congress in 1996, some of my first speeches I gave were on the need for campaign finance reform to take money out of politics. I said that it was big money was a corruptive, had a corrupting influence on government and on the policies that were coming out of Washington, and we needed to change things. Since then, things have gotten worse. We've had bad Supreme Court decisions like Citizens United. We've seen the proliferation of money in politics and campaigns, and we've seen some really bad policies as a result of it. I mean, we had a tax bill last year that came out of Congress that the president signed where, you know, 87% of the benefits went to the top 2% income earners in this country. I basically ignored the middle class and those struggling to get into the middle class. We were told by every scientist in the world that we have a climate crisis, and yet the policies that have been coming out of Washington have been geared more toward helping the fossil fuel industry than investing in clean, green, renewable energy. And, you know, I mean, the high cost of prescription drugs. I mean, we complain about it, but yet the policies coming out of here seem to be aimed at protecting, you know, big industry. So I think that's happening in large part because of the influx of money. And, you know, we're going to have some legislation to try to address some of these issues in early March. H.R. 1 is the bill. But in the meantime, I just kind of feel that I need to do more. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard from constituents that they want me to do more. And so I decided that that my campaign will no longer take any money from corporate PACs.
So, Congressman, one of the things, as you mentioned, that there's been concern about the corrosive influence of money in politics for a long, long time. Some might ask, why did it take you this long to come to this decision?
Well, to be honest with you, you know, I was playing by the rules. And the rules of the game, you know, are that you can take corporate PAC money.
Mm-hmm.
And when I thought about it, you know, I got some pushback from some people in my own staff saying, well, you know, why would you put yourself at a disadvantage? Why would you take anything off the table? But look, I've been doing town hall meetings all across my district for, you know, especially during the last couple of years. And people have raised that issue. I mean, you know, don't take money from the fossil fuel industry or don't take money from the defense industry. And my response has kind of been, well, let me think about it. And you know, I've been contemplating this for some time. I just think it's the right thing to do. And, I want my constituents to know that when I wake up every morning, I put them first, you know, and not corporate special interests.
Got it. Congressman Jim McGovern, he represents Massachusetts' 2nd Congressional District. Thanks so much for speaking with us today. We really appreciate it. All right, take care. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.
Wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.